Father in heaven, Lord, we come to that point in our service where we turn to your word. I ask you that you might give us understanding this morning, that our hearts and our minds and our ears might be open to you, and that you might speak to us. I pray, Lord, for myself, for my words, that they might be pleasing to you and, Lord, in accordance to your will, so that together we might go away challenged and encouraged. In Jesus I pray. Amen. I'm going to talk to you from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through to 8. And we might read that together. Let's read that. I'm reading from the NIV. And here Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man or a woman remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, well, they are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it would be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Some great words there of Jesus in John 15. Let me just set the context. I'm sure you've heard these words before. They're familiar words. Firstly, this is the last of the seven I am statements that Jesus has made throughout John, throughout the scriptures, and here in John's gospel. Do you know the other six? You can participate. We can talk to people. John, where have you? I'm the bread. We just celebrated that. So that's one. That's actually the first one. I am the light. You're doing them in order. Very good. One of the big ones that got everybody upset. That's a clue. He said, I am the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am, he said. That upset everyone, didn't they? They started to pick up stones and they wanted to persecute him then. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And now here Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine. I am the true vine. This is part of Jesus has been in the upper room. He's just shared this communion or instituted this new way of understanding the Passover through him. And the last verse in John 14, Jesus is in the upper room and he says to his disciples, "Come now, let us leave." So Jesus is on his way from the upper room, which is on one side of Jerusalem, and he's heading over to the other side. Maybe about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles. What's that, about 2 or 3 k's walk somewhere there if he goes around the city. And we suspect that he would have gone around the city because there was people already out to kind of crucify him. We know that, don't we? And so Jesus would have walked around through the city and he would have walked through the vineyards that were outside the city walls. We know it's a full moon because it's Passover, so they could see quite well. And Jesus was in this habit of trying to teach his disciples and his followers with everyday kind of things. And so it's fair to assume, actually, we're pretty confident that Jesus is actually in a vineyard as he says these words, taking a shortcut on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus knows what's going to happen there, by the way. He knows. He knows that he's going to be arrested. He knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die a quite terrible and horrible death for you and for me. So Jesus knows all that. And it strikes me, that it's really significant that Jesus stops to teach another lesson to his disciples. His time is running out. His time with his disciples is coming to an end. And so what he says here on this journey, I think Jesus says two very important things for the church today, and this is one of them. If you want to hear the other, you might have to invite me back another day in John chapter 17. And so can you see that? Jesus and his disciples standing in this vineyard, and Jesus says these words, "I am the true vine." That's our next slide. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful." I think these are really important words. You know, what people say in their last moments are really important. I know in our house, when Karen leaves to go out the door and she gives me a list of things to do, the last thing she says is the most important thing for me to remember. It could be a whole list of things, but that final thing, whether it's do the washing or, you know, do the housework, neither which I do very well, but I give him a shot. Sometimes it's the check. What's the bottom line thing? She's a list person. I'm not a list person. So on this list of things, what's the most important thing? And here Jesus, I think, has given us one of the most important things we need to understand. And these words are quite shocking, don't you think? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. What is Jesus saying? Okay, the big idea here is not about our eternal destiny, whether we can lose our faith. There are people who have that discussion. But actually, I like what one commentator said, that to focus on that here in Jesus' words in John 15 would do Jesus' words a great misjustice, because that's not what he's saying. Jesus is urging us, reminding us not to be afraid of what we might lose, but to be aware of what we have when we are in him. To be aware and to know what God will do in us and through us if we remain in Jesus. And so Jesus talks about being the true vine. What do you think about when you hear the word vine? A good Shiraz? A nice Chardonnay, maybe? Maybe we're all too good. Can I mention wine, Steve? Jesus drank wine. Maybe grapes on the table on a hot summer's day. Do you know what the disciples would have thought of as Jesus speaks about himself being the true vine? Their thoughts would have gone to Israel, because that was one of the definitions or descriptors. That's how God described his people, the people of God. They were meant to be his vineyard. He called upon them to be to produce fruit for the world. So that would have been on the disciples' mind. In fact, this idea of vine and Israel being kind of God's vineyard was so important and central to the people of God, to the Israel, that they had this massive golden vine in the temple that was destroyed on the archway of the temple. Huge. You know, they're talking about 10-foot doors and these doors being surrounded by this golden vine worth hundreds of millions of dollars in today's language. It could have been seen for miles away. It was a reminder of the people of Israel that that's who they're meant to be as they walk into the temple, that we are God's vineyard. But now Jesus, and once again, is taking kind of this understanding of the day and now applying it to himself. They were meant to give life to the world. They were meant to reveal God to the world. But now Jesus is saying that happens through me. That true life now is found in me. I am the true vine. And apart from me, you will do nothing. So these are important words. And while we might think of wine or a fruit, the disciples, yeah, they would have thought of Israel. And so Jesus' words would have been quite impacting to them. And the key to this passage is actually verse 5. So Jesus isn't really talking about how we might lose our faith. He's inviting us into him. He does talk about fruitfulness, and we'll get to that in a minute. And he says in verse 5, the key to this whole thing that Jesus is saying, this just one thing that I want you to take away today. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? He's standing in his vineyard and he's pointing at them. Maybe the disciples are touching them. I don't know if it's harvest season, so I can't comment on that. Maybe if you're a farmer, if that's the time of grapes. But maybe if there were grapes on the vine, the disciples might have been eating them. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How often do we forget that? How often do we try to do things in our own strength? If you're anything like me, then it's too often. And we fail because we're doing it alone. Steve, you won't do anything apart from Jesus. But what is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? What does Jesus mean that you will bear much fruit? And this word much, I think it's a Greek word, poly, meaning plenty or many or great or a lot. Jesus just has in mind not just some fruit, much fruit. Like more we can ask or imagine kind of fruit, as Paul says in Ephesians. And there is this expectation that those who call themselves followers of Jesus will bear fruit. But what is this fruit? Again, this is not the main focus of this passage. Probably the second most important thing Jesus is saying. And as we look through the scriptures, I just put out one verse from Isaiah 5 verse 7. I think it might be up there. Where God, through the prophet Isaiah, is talking to his people who are meant to be the vineyard. And there in Isaiah, the prophet says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. This is why the disciples would have had that kind of thought. And the people of Judah are the vines. Sound familiar? And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but heard cries of distress. And here in Isaiah, we get the picture that fruit for God, the creator of this world, the fruit he expected from his people, the people of Israel, was righteousness and justice. And they were not producing that. I think God still expects that from his people and from his church, that we might be absolutely committed to these two things, and if not more. It's repeated for us in the 8th century prophet Micah, who calls us to seek these things, to seek justice and love, mercy, and to walk humbly with God. What's the other way around? Well, those two. Ask Steve, he'll know. As we look through the New Testament, I'm sure your mind might have gone to the fruits of the Spirit. Now, that's a good thing. It's what the Spirit produces in us. And Paul reminds us in Galatians 5, 22 to 23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Against such things there is no law. One of the things I try to do in my life and my journey is to kind of use that as a filter and ask myself, you know, am I being more loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good? I have a lot of work to do. Have I arrived? By no means. Have I progressed? Yeah, I have. I'm not the person I was when I first came in faith. And that's a good thing. And hopefully those around me can see the change in me. I was conducting a funeral once, and this lady from the church I grew up in, Blacktown Baptist Church, I was a rotter. If there was a window broken, it was me. If kids were thrown through windows, it was me. And that happened on more than one occasion. And she goes, "You're Ian Altman." I said, "Yes, I am." "And you're a minister." I said, "Yes, I am." And that's all she said. She just shook her head and walked away. I still don't know what she meant by that. But I think it's like she was, can I say cranky old lady here? Can I say that? And not a lot of joy. But she remembered me for who I was. I didn't get to see me for who I now am. I don't break windows anymore. Much. And these are good things to measure our life with. And I think, yeah, this too has in mind, this is what, are we being fruitful? Do people see these things in you as you live out your life for Jesus? They're good things to measure our life by. But I think Jesus has just one thing in mind as he talks about being fruitful. It's already been mentioned this morning if you picked it up. Steve mentioned it. We are called to be people who make disciples. We are called to be people who make disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 28, and hear these words again, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. I think for too long we as churches and churches right across, I think particularly the Western world, have counted our fruitfulness by, I was going to say bums on seats, but I'm not sure if I should say that, by the number of people who walk through the door. Jesus counts fruitfulness by the number of people who are entering the kingdom of God. We like to celebrate how good our programs are and how many people are in them. And I got to say, I think programs are wearing our people out. When I work with churches, one of the things I put up, one of the things I think us as a system is having good rest, rhythms of rest in our church. And I talk to more church leaderships about their being exhausted than anything else. But how are we going with raising up disciples? How are you going with bringing people to that saving knowledge of Jesus? I think the end, what Jesus is saying, that he's calling us to create what we already are. If we're a disciple, disciples are called to make disciples. Churches are called to plant churches. And how are you going with that? It's a question I ask everywhere as I move around. If you remain in me and I in you, says Jesus, you will bear much fruit. But here's the thing about these words. I don't want to make you feel guilty. That the fruitfulness that's produced in our life is not our job. The big thing I think that Jesus is saying here in these words is that that's what he wants to do in your life. Our job, and here it is, the one thing, is to remain. Jesus calls us to remain in him. Your Bible might have the word abide. He uses this word 8 times here in this chapter. It's the big idea. It's the one thing we need to get right. Steve, you will serve this congregation the best by remaining in Jesus in the midst of every day, by making that a priority. You'll serve your family best by remaining in Jesus day after day, and doing it every day. And we get the sense here in Jesus' words that this is not automatic. It's why he urges us and invites us, kind of woos us in a way. Remain in me. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Hear me when he says, I think he's saying, hear me, that apart from me, you will do nothing. But the flip side of that, the other side of that coin is that with me, that with Jesus, well, we can do everything. We can do all things. And I love those words in Ephesians, that God will do more than we could possibly ask or imagine if we remain in him. And this remaining isn't automatic. And here's the challenge for you, Steve, and John, and others. To remain in Jesus. And it's not automatic. I think that's why Jesus told us to take up our cross. How often? How often? Daily. How often is that? You know, Jesus hasn't made things hard for us. I think we make it hard for ourselves. And what does that look like? I was choosing to trust Jesus in the midst of every day. It's laying down our life and picking up the life of Jesus every day. We do that simply by reading God's word, by praying, by having a filter to see others the way that Jesus sees them. Look for the signs of God in the midst of every day. Whether out walking, and we did a great walk yesterday around Byron Bay and nearly blew out my knee. It recovered overnight. What a wonderful creation we get to experience here. It's seeing Jesus on the faces of those around us. I think we choose there into Jesus when we look at others, not as enemies or opposition, but as people who need to hear the good news of Jesus. And long before people ask about Jesus, they're going to make a decision about him by the way that you and I live our life. And here Jesus is saying is that if you remain in me and I in you, then you'll bear fruit. It's actually the natural byproduct of a healthy discipleship-focused life. So that's my challenge. For you to remain in Jesus and find new ways and creative ways to do that. To talk about Jesus when you get up and when you go to bed. That's what Israel used to do with the Torah. Bind it on their forehead so we don't forget. Maybe today the equivalent is getting a tattoo with a Jesus verse. I'd get a tattoo, but I'm scared of needles, so it's not going to work out. For me, it's taking pictures to remind myself of God's creation. It's one of my spiritual disciplines. So what will you do today and tomorrow? And I guess my big question for you is that, are you in Jesus today? And I've got to say that a decision to follow Jesus was never meant to be one that was made years ago. I made my decision when I was 17, January long weekend of 1985. And I made it again yesterday. And I'll need to make it again tomorrow. Are you in Jesus today? Jesus calls us to remain in him. I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. So do that. Get that bit right. And everything else, I think, will fall into place. Let me pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we live in a very busy world. There are lots of distractions. There's lots of things to get our attention. There's lots of things to take us away from you. There's lots of things that will fill up our life and just crowd you out. So help us, Lord, to be a people who seek you above all things, who constantly lay down our life and take up our cross to follow you daily. May we ask ourselves and one another, are we remaining in you? And Lord, I know your promise is true. Then when we are in you and you're in us, we will bear much fruit, for that's your promise. That's your job. Our job is to cultivate the relationship in which we have, so that we might grow up more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. I have the words, some of Jesus' final words in Revelation. I stand at the door and knock, said Jesus. His words were aimed at the church of people of God. And it is so easy for us to lock Jesus out of our life. So I just want to pray for those who might have done that. Where Jesus is standing outside, may you hear his voice. May you open the door. May you invite him in again anew this day. You can do that now as we close. In Jesus I pray. Amen.